Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to move into the Word of God, and I'm excited about it. Father, today I ask that you anoint my lips to speak, anoint the ears to hear, Father. And between the two, much revelation can come forth. And I'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for everything that we say and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you will, open up to Ephesians chapter 6, and this is not what we're going to talk about until tonight. But I want us to look at a particular word in a verse, and then we're going to go to some other place in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Everybody find it? Okay, now, do this with me. How many can see this finger? You know what that's called? How many are looking at it? That's called focus. Don't let your mind wander. It's too little to be left alone. In verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Notice this word wrestle. Everybody got it? Now, this particular word is referring to an opponent. This word is used when you have an opponent. In other words, when you're in a wrestling match, you've got somebody you're wrestling with. Amen? And that's what this word literally is referring to. It literally is referring to a conflict or a struggle that is hand-to-hand. And it involves an opponent. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And follow me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's go to verse 12. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, when we look at the word wrestle and we look at the word fight, right away in our thinking, what goes off, it's one and the same. So if I'm wrestling with somebody, we're in a fight, so to speak. How many got what I'm saying? But I think it's very interesting that these two words are different words. Because this word for fight here is worded a little differently. And this word literally says, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, struggle, the good struggle of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you was called and did confess the good confession before many witnesses. This word confession here is a relational word. It literally means, it's two words put together, homologion, which literally means something that is the same as the word. It means a coming into an alignment. And so when he says here, struggle the good struggle of faith, lay hold on eternal life, this word has a little different meaning than you find over in Ephesians 6 in the word wrestle. Remember I told you that the word literally meant having an opponent. But when you get over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, this word here is the word for fight, is the word struggle. And this is an interesting word. It literally means something that goes off on the inside of you. not so much something that is coming against you or opposing you by an opponent, but this word for struggle is referring to something that's going off on the inside of you. You're not necessarily seeing an opponent on the outside of you to resist. This word for struggle or fight means something that really is going off on the inside of you. And notice he goes on to say, the good fight of faith. Now, you know, it's funny how when you read verses, you see certain words that you just take advantage of. Matter of fact, I've taken advantage of this particular verse for years. Because Kenneth Hagin, who was my mentor, he capitalized a lot on this verse. He made it very clear that if you're going to fight the good fight, make sure it's of the faith. You see, a lot of people, a lot of believers are in a wrestling match with an opponent, but they hadn't realized that on the inside of them, the struggle has not been settled within them to really deal with an issue of an opponent. Because I've had several people come up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I believe that I'm going to receive. And right away you can tell a struggle is going on the inside of them. But I listen to statements that they make, and I can hear faith in them. Case in point, I hope Roberta doesn't mind me bringing it up again, but she came forward and she had a struggle going off in the inside of her because of a report the doctors gave her. And she came forward and she said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want victory in this. And so I laid hands on her. I could tell she was in faith, even though there's a struggle within her. You see, a lot of times people, we don't realize that when we exercise our faith, you're going to have a struggle on the inside of you. And one of the struggles is, am I in faith? Now, I know that many of you might not have had this kind of struggle because, after all, you are the man of the hour in faith and power. But there's a struggle that always goes off. And how do I know that? Me. I'm no different than you. I'm flesh and blood. But you know what? Over there in Ephesians 6, it says, your flesh and blood is not your opponent. Isn't that interesting? Most of the fights we ever had is with flesh and blood. But over here he says there's a struggle, and he calls it a good struggle. A good struggle. Well, this word for good is a word that many of us don't look at really as important, but every one of us want this word in us. You want to know why? Because the word good literally is saying that if you're struggling on the inside of you, there's a place on the inside of you that will do something if you're willing to face the struggle. And it's called to have an inward harmonious completeness within yourself. A balance within yourself. Now, is that possible to have a struggle going on you at the same time, this good being on the inside of you? Well, the good is leading towards something. The good struggle of the faith. See, most Christians always look at the word fight, but they forget what the fight's all about. It's all about the faith. The faith that the struggle is all about. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So, now I'm talking where we all live. And I don't want to make this so complicated, but I want you to see some facts here. Whenever you are caught in a situation where it is going to require you to exercise your faith, guess what? A struggle will go off on the inside of you. You want to know why? You have a history of living here if you're still walking around. And so when he said, the writer said, fight the good fight of faith, he was talking about something that is within yourself. Now the word faith, a lot of people don't understand this word faith. Most of the believers I talked about, it is a doctrine to stay away from. Stay away from them faith churches. But I found out something that's very interesting. Hold your place here because we're going to come right back here. And I want you to turn over to 1 John. 1 John. And I want you to go to verse 5. Or verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You guys there? Now, I know the Bible says whatever. Whatever. Now, I want you to notice that whatever is born of God. Whatever. Some translation got whosoever. Or whatsoever. Whatsoever. Well, you're not a whatsoever. You are a whosoever, but you're not a whatsoever. You're a whosoever. And notice what he says. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, overcoming the world, our faith. That is how it should be really translated. Now, some of your translators put in, I don't know why they even put the word even in there. Some of you might have it italicized. It's like, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Oh, and by the way, your faith too. When you throw even in there. Well, that's not what this verse is saying. It's saying this is how you overcome the world. It's your faith. Can anybody say amen to that? And so this verse literally says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory overcoming the world, our faith. Now notice this. The victory overcoming the world. This is the word Nike. It's where we get the term for the tennis shoes. By the way, if you have a struggle within yourself on your faith, buy a set of Nikes and you can abound above everything. But now turn back to 1 Timothy 6. He says in verse 12, struggle the good struggle of faith. Now, again, I want to look at this word faith. Do you know what this word means? What one has to win over with. What one has to win over with. What one has to win over with. So if I'm going to have an inward struggle, then I've got to know within myself this is a good struggle. Why? Because within me lies the foundation of a faith that I possess. Are you following me? To win with. See, this word, faith, we don't look at it this way, but literally when we talk about faith, it is what one possesses by firm persuasion, conviction, belief in the truth. It literally means which one is believed and received and it's established within them. But most of the time when we struggle, we got the wrong kind of struggling going on in us because our struggling is from the viewpoint of whether we're in the faith or not. You ain't gonna win a fight that way. You got to have already believed and received and been fully persuaded that the faith that is on the inside of you that you already possess is what is going to bring your victory. Amen. Now, I like what Kenneth Hagin said. I can have this old doubt here, but I got obedience working in my heart here. You know what? If you're going to question your faith, that ticker tape will roll and roll and roll. But the thing you got to do is just be obedient, 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 obedient. If you are obedient, guess what? That goes a long way. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes the worst struggle that you'll find concerning faith is on the inside of you more than the opponent you face. Matter of fact, many of us, we have an understanding that Satan is defeated. He is a defeated foe. If you don't even believe that, man, I'll tell you what, I got a new message for you. But most of the time, we as men and women of God, most of the time, we don't have a problem identifying with victory over the devil. But many times we have a hard time with the struggle what's on the inside of our heart, wanting to know if we really qualify to really fight this good fight of faith. Well, do you know, as long as that struggle is allowed to be there, it doesn't stop your faith from operating? Because you can't erase your carnal mind when it comes to operating in faith. I'd like to say, I've got a machine that you can plug in. And it begins to vibrate when you push a button and put it on your head. And it'll erase all your unbelief. It says the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it's not even subject to conform to God. That's why the carnal mind can't be renewed. It has to be purged. Most of the renewing of the mind, people tell you, is your thinking processes are changed. You can't do that with your carnal mind. I got plenty of scripture that validates that. But your inward spiritual mind can be enlightened. It can be renovated. It can be enlightened to what truth is. And that's the first line of defense that will come against your carnal mind. So obedience to the Word is more spiritual than what you give yourself credit for. So when Roberta came up, and just before she started to walk away, I stopped her. I said, Roberta, I have a word from the Lord for you. And she said, oh, you could see hope in her. And I said, there's nothing there. Well, she left. She was excited. I went up my room and said, do you know what you told her? What if there's something there? You know what I did? I ignored it. Because I knew it came out of my spirit. And my head locked up. First sign it had to come out of my spirit. Of course, you guys heard her testimony. Wasn't that powerful? She said the nurses, the doctors, the x-ray technician, all of them come back and said, there's nothing there. I know it's on the x-rays and we got to go recheck. There's nothing there. That's what came out of the mouth. There's nothing there. Dennis's mother diagnosed cancer all through her throat. She came up and she says, I've had enough. I want my healing now. I've had enough. I said, there's where it's going to happen. Laid hands on her. She went back to the doctor. Clean bill of health. Well, there was a struggle within him. Do you know the story of the Shunammite woman? You know, I love her. She is awesome. I read about her story, and when I let the Holy Spirit take me to that place and see her and her area of faith, it amazed me. You know what it was? Elijah. Was it Elijah or Elisha? One of the prophets. Elijah. A Shunammite woman. He walked by. Yeah, Elijah. He said to his servant, hey, I want you to go to that Shunammite woman, and I want you to say, is there anything we can do for you? Because she always takes good care of us whenever we pass by. She takes real good care. And you know what? I just want to bless her. So go over there and ask her what she wants. And so he sent the servant to her, and she said, well, I'm okay. I got everything. Well, one thing, we could sure use a kid. Well, the prophet said, you'll have a child this time, the following year, whatever it is. And she received that word from God. How many understand what it is? She received what the prophet had told her. And so she had a son. Somewhere about 14, 15 years later, he's in the field working and drops dead. Now, this is a long time. This wasn't like tomorrow, the minute the kid came out of the womb. That was almost 9 months in itself. But you know what she said? The first thing she said is her husband says, "Oh, oh," and she said, "Oh, be quiet." She takes the kid, puts him in the room that she prepared for the prophet, and said, "Leave the boy there, and me and the servant, we're going to go, and we're going back to the man of God because he gave us a word. Is there anything you want?" And so God gave her a child. Well, and the prophet said, "Yep, God's going to give you a kid." You know what she had? She received a word from the Lord that the Lord was going to give her a kid. And guess what? She refused to let go of the child because God gave her the child. You follow what I'm saying? And so it says as they got near the prophet evidently is high up in a place where he could look down. And he says, "Hey, isn't that Shunammite woman that takes care of us, the one that had the kid? The Lord blessed with the kid?" Paraphrasing it. Servant said, "Yeah. Well, I wonder what's troubling her." Because he could tell how she was approaching him. She wanted him real quick. He says, "The Lord hasn't revealed to me anything here. Go down there and find out what she wants." And so he went down there. And she said, "I want to see the prophet. He gave me a word that I have received. And it's mine." And so you know the story. She came up and it said that she fell down on her knees, and within her soul was a struggle of grief. Isn't that interesting? Even though her soul was greatly troubled, she had a faith in her that when God gave her a word, she was not going to be moved in spite of the struggle going off on the inside of her. And the prophet, he saw her and he said, "Wow, there is a struggle going off on the inside of her, but she's hanging on to what God has given her. I'll go." And she, you know the story. He went and raised the boy from the dead. You want to know why? God gave her something and the devil wasn't going to have it. Well, that's the struggle I'm talking about when you look at that word and it says, fight the good fight of faith. Literally, that is not where you wrestle an opponent. This is where there's a struggle that goes off on the inside of you. If you want to know who the opponent is, most of the time it's you. So if you don't realize that you want to go to this place called harmonious balance within yourself, a place where there is a complete feeling in you. How many of you want that kind of feeling always living in your heart and life? A completeness about you, a confidence within you, a place where you can go where you want to be. Money can't buy this. Are you following me? You'll always be challenged to your faith. Sue and I have had it happen to us many times. And I thank God for the men and women that knew the Word of God and could stand up and pray the right prayer over my life. And I'll never forget out on that front lawn when they were talking about my Tim, my son, and that motorcycle went into his skull and they gave us all the negative details and everybody's freaking out, including myself. And I got on that front backyard and Dave was praying for me because he heard me. And he said, "God, I hope Jan stands in his covenant rights and declare what's his over this situation." I got out of the lawn and I was struggling within myself. I was crying out and my brain was saying, "It's over. It's history. You're going to lose this kid." And I said, "No, I'm not." And I stopped and I said, "God, give me a word now." You know what he said? "Perfect love casts out all fear." He said, "Stand on your rights." I put my foot down on that grass and I said, "In the name of Jesus, this thing is going to come out okay. I have that confidence. Went back in. This is during the operation. Well, they were supposed to be in there for 4 or 5 hours. They were in there an hour. Doctor comes out, pulls his mask down. And he goes, "Well, boy, I don't know what kind of miracle you guys got going for you. But it seems like when that handlebar went into his head, it took all the bone and put it in the crevices of the brain and didn't even damage the brain." You know what dawned on me? God had him covered during the accident. He says all we had to do is pull out all the pieces of bone. And he's young enough and small enough, the bone will grow back. He'll be all right. Not a problem. Just have to be a little concerned about infection. I said, there will be no infection. A few days later, soon I went into the hospital to visit Tim. Timmy, are you here? There he is. And the doctor come in and we're sitting there and we're just happy and Tim's all bandaged up. We got pictures of him. And the doctor says, "Well, I'm glad everything has turned out okay. Just says I have some real bad news, along with the good." And I said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Well, all his nerves above his eye have been all severed and damaged. He said he will have a droop eye his whole life and no control over his muscles here." Sue and I looked at each other. By then, we're real cocky. Sue and I agreed right there, and I laid hands on him. I said, "In the name of Jesus, nerves, I command you to come back together. And by the Lord, by God, he got nervy on me." And Tim's normal. Both eyes are normal. But that's struggle. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Struggle. That struggle goes off in the inside of you and you begin to question your faith. Well, I'm telling you how to combat that struggle. Just be obedient to what God has told you. And you know what? I don't necessarily need a prophet, although he'll provide one for you. But all you have to do is open the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart a promise that is in there for you. And you can hold on to that promise and say it belongs to you and cling on to that thing and don't let it go. And the end will speak for itself because God will see to it that you will not be ashamed of the action of your faith. Problem with the United States is we have too many options other than God. After all, we live in a country that if anything happens, Dr. Samuel Smith will take care of it. Well, that's okay. God will use them. But people, in the meantime, we need to build confidence in the Word. We need to connect with it. And I'm going to tell you how your faith will grow. It grows through understanding. Do you guys know your faith grows with understanding? And I'm going to show you something that might be shocking for a lot of you, that little faith is a mustard seed. That's how we're taught. If we have mustard seed faith, we can move the mountain. It doesn't say that. It says if you have faith as a mustard seed and allow it to grow up in you, then the possibility of the impossible will obey you. Because every time you find an incident in the Bible where it talked about them having little faith, it was a place where they all failed. You have to bond with the Word of God. You cannot struggle a good struggle of your faith if you are not fully persuaded that what is in you belongs to you. It is yours. Because this word here, struggle, the good struggle of faith, it's referring to something that's on the inside of you that you're struggling because it's there. Does this help you a little bit? Every one of us will have a struggle. But listen, just because you got a struggle, you got to realize it's a good one. What will it do? Because, you know, when you experience the good Word of God, it brings a peace to you. It brings harmony to your life. It brings a completeness in your heart. How many of you know that when you're happy with yourself, you're A-okay? Well, God wants you there too. Especially Him knowing that He has given you the Word of God, but He knows that even though you have the Word of God, you will face a struggle. Sometime in your life, you will. If you've got any faith in you at all. If you have a faith in you that your struggle begins, just know one thing. It's a good struggle. Yeah. Why? Because your faith has been received by you. You've been fully persuaded by it. But it doesn't exonerate the carnality, the carnal house you live in. It doesn't disappear. Wouldn't it be nice that whenever you got into a position of having to exercise your faith, you could step outside of your body and lay it down in your bedroom and say, "Now you stay there till I got the victory." Wouldn't that be nice? Well, how come you're so confident and calm and clear? I would say, "Well, how can you even see me? I'm all spirit. My body's laying in the bedroom in there." Why? Because you don't have a struggle. Why? That struggle comes from the sensual mind. And you know what? That struggle, you know what? I'd like to take some time to go in and say, this is the MO of struggle. Do you know sometimes the struggle that goes off in the inside of you is because you might have faith in the Word, but you also got the knowledge of you. Where did that come from? And so we have a tendency sometimes to question our faith because we question our position with God. How many of you ever made mistakes since you've been a believer? Okay, the rest of you are liars, but anyway. No, we all make mistakes, but you know what? Satan is good at logzomai and everything. That means to take account of every little thing that you do. Why? Because he wants to know something about you. Why? So he can take you by your same mistake every time. And so that's part of your struggle. Sometimes how you settle an issue in your life is some of the stupidest things you could do. Amen? But you know what? If you connect with the Word of God and that is your source of faith, even the struggle that goes off in you, do you know some of the struggles that goes off in me is abstinence? Have you ever thought about that? You ever go to the doctor and you say you need to lose? I've never had that problem. Every time he looked at me, he always rolled his eyes back in his head and kept his mouth shut. Now, he never said a word to me, but his eyes spoke volumes. So I go home. Bless God. It's coming off. All of a sudden, man, I got this struggle going off on the inside of me called eat, eat, eat. Faith, what faith will do is stabilize you. Faith, the faith, will put a confidence in your heart. I don't care how many failures you had in the past. God is working right where you're at, and He wants you to gain a victory ahead of you. Why? Because if you gain that victory, then you'll gain another victory, and I guarantee you, with every victory you gain, you will peel off the one you lost. And that's why when you come to that place of full experience in the Word of God, then you can lean back and say, "God, I knew I would never be ashamed living in faith within you." Because the thing that neutralizes many believers is the fact that they don't know how to meet the struggle. They think the problem is the doctrine of faith. It is not. It's always the inward struggle. Not the doctrine of faith. Because have you ever noticed that when you look at the doctrine of faith, it's right on. But the struggle that goes off on the inside of you is not right on. Say, Pastor, I'm getting this. And you know what? You just have to ignore some things in the struggle. You just have to ignore them. People will even say to you, don't you care? Not really, I cast it. Oh, you never have anything emotional to say about it? No, I cast it. Boy, that makes them mad. You know, because misery loves company. Some things are very important. You have to be firm in the faith because it's inside of you. If your faith is outside of you, you got problems. And a lot of people we went and talked to a girl who's now gone home to be with the Lord. She was full of cancer. And the Lord moved on me to administer faith to her. And when I got through, you could feel the presence of God and everything. She was fired up. And then her husband said, listen, that is the most awesome thing I have ever heard on faith. And I said, oh, well, I want your wife to come out of this. She said, sad thing is, too many people in our church have encouraged her not to believe because they always put her in light of somebody else in the body. Listen, you can't compare yourself with somebody else. Tonight when we look at how the operation of Satan in the heart of people, you're going to be amazed. When we get into 1 Peter 5:8, I discovered something in that verse that shocked me. But he said, when you're looking at the adversary, you've got to remember one thing. The thing that could happen to you can happen into another brother. And I'll give you the key of what he's saying there. Listen, anything can happen in anybody that's shoulder to shoulder with you. But the thing that you got to be concerned about is that you're committed to your own salvation and seeking it. You can't let people be your witness or your example. Your witness and your example is an inward thing called Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will put faith in your heart so that when you go into this struggle, it won't move you one way or the other. Did you guys receive something here this morning? Sometime I'll take time and identify how this struggle works. But I tried to relay it to you the best way I could this morning. Was it okay? I mean, it wasn't too deep, right? Uh-oh, I shouldn't be saying that, right, John? We're all in John Cook's class on how to teach the Word of God, and I don't like the bark peeling that I get, but I'm working on it. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. It is how we live. Father, I know that the majority is not there. But Father, I would rather be with the remnant than the majority. Because where the remnant is where the spirit of man walks. And Father, I ask that today, if there be anybody here this morning that has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, but would love to. Father, we don't want to hinder them in any way, but they can come right on into the kingdom of God and simply say, Jesus, I deny my old life. I want to receive the new, and you will be born from above. You'll be born again. And if you've been born again but never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's a different act, a separate act. We've got people who can pray with you, lay hands on you, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence is speaking in your spiritual language. And also, I don't know why I'm saying this, but some of you have not been praying in tongues. You need to keep that gift going, because that's what builds your inward most holy faith, is praying in the Holy Ghost. That is not praying in your understanding. It's praying in the Spirit. And if you want us to lay hands on you to release you from being bound up from that, we'll do that too. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord. And I pray that the Word of God this morning puts you back into fellowship with the Lord. And if not, we can pray for you too. So in closing, if anyone wants healing, we want you to feel free to come forward, and we'll lay hands on you, and we will transfer that anointing into you for your healing. We'll come into agreement with it. New people, when we close this service, you can meet with us in the back room. We have a hospitality room. Feel free to go right back there, and I'll go there, and I'll meet with you, and any questions you might have, or just want to introduce yourself, whatever, I'm there for you. And those of you that come forward for whatever you need, please don't come forward for counseling, because I should get back to the room. Just come forward, be straightforward what you need, and we'll help you. Amen. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And now, as we dismiss this service, they go their way today in victory in Jesus' name. Amen.